Lord Jesus, we ask you to let your word penetrate our hearts. God, probably better stated is we ask you to help us to let your word penetrate our hearts, that we wouldn't be the same after tonight's study because your word ministers to us and changes us and teaches us and shows us the things that we ought to know. Please, may the power of your word literally dissect us. Put in place the things that you want in place. May we find ourselves just receiving. May we not fight it anymore. May we finally tap out and surrender. Have your way. And may we not be surprised. May I pray that one person here, that when the word speaks to them, as your word does, they would not be surprised that they get a word of prophecy tonight. That tonight somebody would receive a word from the Lord to change their lives. Rhema word, fall on us. We ask it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you were here the last couple of weeks, we looked at this ongoing saga. Mordecai the Jew is now under attack emotionally at first from Haman. Haman being from the Agag tribe, otherwise known as a... Johnny, you looked it up last week. Malachite. Well done. Quick draw. Gotcha on that one. He refuses to bow down to this Amalekite. Thus, the Amalekite now hates him. So he, having the king's ear very closely, talks the king into making a decree of the Medes and Persians, which we know, according to Scripture, can never be changed. That all the Jews, in about 10 or 11 months, will be put to death, all their assets seized. It is now in full effect, as the rioters have gone out, and all 127 cities that the king oversees, Ahasuerus, otherwise known as Xerxes, if you are Greek or studying history, same king, Xerxes, Ahasuerus. He tells his daughter slash cousin, whom he raised, you got to go and see the king. She says to him, nobody just goes and sees the king. If I go in to see the king, I could die. He sends back a message to Esther, who is now the queen, some say for as many as 4 years. Listen, you won't escape. God will raise up deliverance for the Jews someplace else. And in other words, he says, so don't forget where you came from. I know who you are. Don't be such a big shot now. All of a sudden, you're living that cush life. She says, you're right. And this is the story. Where we pick it up. Verse 1, chapter 5, Esther. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. Please give me your attention. Let me explain to you. What we're going to look at is not just a woman who didn't have a plan. If you've ever seen the movie King Arthur, Arthur stands in the middle of the field, and this king, what was the king? The Saxon king sees him, and he starts walking out to him, and he says, this Roman has a plan. This Roman has a plan. It's a very emotional part of the movie. If you've not seen it and you're into movies like I am, the Lord of the Rings type of Braveheart things, watch King Arthur. One from about 10 years ago, not the new one that just came out. This queen has a plan. She's not winging it, this girl. She's thought this thing through. She's prayed it out. She stands opposite the house, and she stands in the court, and who knows how long she was there. All of a sudden, the king, what's Queen Esther doing over there? What are you standing out there for? Think about the way this is going down. So it was, verse 2, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. That was a, if you have not been here, that's an indicator that the queen will now accept her presence, because it was a infamania. It was an abomination to present yourself to the king if you've not been summoned. And the way that you knew that you found grace in the king's eyes is he would hold out a golden scepter to you and you touch the top of it. You have been welcomed by the king. And the king said to her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you, up to half the kingdom," which is an idiom that they used even in Christ's time. You remember that that girl danced and the king said, and King Herod said, "Whatever you want, up to half my kingdom." That's kind of a thing you say, and I often say that to my kids. So Esther answered, "If it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him." Then the king said, "Bring Haman quickly, that he may do as Esther has said." So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition? It shall be granted to you. What is your request? After up to half my kingdom, it shall be done." So Esther first tantalizes, teases. Who knows how she dressed, but I would assume it was something a little bit on the seductive side, which she was allowed to do since she was his wife. And she says, Esther, Esther, here's the scepter. Touches it. What can I do for you, my queen? Up to half my kingdom, it's yours. She said, "If I have found favor in your sight, if I'm pleasing you now, come to a banquet that I've prepared." Now, this banquet is the precursor to another banquet. This is called the banquet of wine, where she's getting him sauced up. And they get a little saucy. Saucy. And she says, and then he says to her, "Come on, what you want?" As the Beastie Boys would say, what you want? Sorry, my age is showing. Where did I leave off? Nine?
Seven.
Then Esther answered and said, "My petition and request is this. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." So she says, this is only the beginning. I'm really setting this up for tomorrow's banquet. Wait, you see what I got for you tomorrow. It's like you get a text from your wife in the middle of the day, can't wait for you to get home. Steak. I softened that a little. So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. Please give me your attention. Haman is the perfect example of just a miserable S-O-G. Son of B, Lyle. That's in the Bible. This man has it all. He has the king's ear. He has riches. He has servants. He has everything that anybody could want. He is the second in command. And you know what bothers him? Some guy in the court who doesn't tremble when he sees him. Do you know anybody like that? Do rich people, have you ever talked to rich people and they just bother the snot of you? Dude, stop whining and complaining. You drive a nice car. You live in a big house. You got a beautiful wife. You got, or a woman. Sister, what do you want? Did you ever hear this saying? This is an interesting thing. The godfather of psychology was a man named Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud, in one of his final writings, said he studied the female gender for 30 plus years, examined brains, spoke as a psychotherapist, as a psychiatrist. And he only has one question after all these years of studying this gender. What do you want? That's true. I have often used this. We're examining, but we're going to take a turn for you ladies. I will take a poll and I will say, single sisters, I have a man for you. He is fairly attractive. He pays the bills. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't watch porno. He's not going to be violent and hit you. He won't cheat on you. He's not going to watch porno. Did I say that already? I said it twice. It's even better. He's not going to do drugs. And he goes to church twice a week. How many of you sisters want to meet this dude? At least meet him. Oh, they all go, well, meet him. Sounds it. Okay, married sisters, you got the guy. Why are you still complaining? What? This is the heart of Mordecai. Do you understand? Careful that the spirit of Mordecai doesn't permeate in our very souls. If we have been granted the petitions that we have requested over the last 10 years of our lives, then why are we still in want? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Meanie, meanie, tekel, a parson. What was the crime committed in the book of Daniel by the king of the Median Empire, which is only a few years after this? Why did the crumbling of this empire occur? When the hand appeared on the wall and those three words, meanie, meanie, tekel, a parson. What did he say? You have been found, you have been searched in the balances and found wanting, because what you have is not enough. What did God, through the prophet Nathan, say to his beloved David? I gave you everything you wanted. And if that was not enough, I would have given you more. Why would you take another man's wife? The sin of dissatisfaction with your life is a grave sin. And I bid you ladies first, careful. Men next, cautious. It is a grievous sin. For what father is there among us who wouldn't see a child on Christmas Day surrounded by gifts? This is it! I want more! What would you do? You'd get a bag, one by one. You'd be Santa in reverse. If you were a good father. Moreover, verse 12 again, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come into the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king. Verse 13 should not be in the scriptures, but it is. Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. He sat there and numbered. There was another man who did that. His name was, what would you say? Who else? King Nebuchadnezzar walked around his kingdom and looked around and said, look at what I've done. Look at all that I have prepared for myself. Oh, how I am successful. And God struck him. And soon thereafter, found himself, what the scriptures say, for seven seasons, crawling on his hands and feet, that his hair grew like feathers, his nails grew like talons, and he was in a state of psychosis of that of an animal. For seven seasons. Some say it was 7 years. I don't know. I think more is 3 years, but not an argument to have. Why? He's dissatisfied with his life. Lest we be careful. I've often said this, we've had this discussion, me and my wife. Honey, are we greedy? You know, we've wisely spent our money. I don't have a business that make millions, but we've spent our money wisely, and we've bought houses and sold houses. And we've been blessed because the houses we bought happened the exact same time as the market in Florida went boom. So we bought a house, sold it for twice as much just a few years later. Crazy. In the 90s, the market was crazy. But are we in want? Do we still pinch ourselves at all that God has provided? So careful we are. If you read Psalm 30 this morning, Proverbs 30 this morning, give me neither poverty nor riches. If I'm rich, I'll deny you. If I'm poor, I'll profane your name and steal. Remember? Careful that the spirit of Mordecai does not overtake you in your affluence. Now look at verse 14, because this is where it happens. This is so crazy. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet." And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. He goes to the place where you should not go for counsel. Your friends and your ungodly wife. What should I do? You know, I got everything I've dreamed of. I have everything I've ever dreamed of. The king's my best friend. The queen asked me to go to a banquet of wine. I'm rich. I'm powerful. And it means nothing to me. Because when I walked by that Mordecai, the Jew, he didn't tremble and bow down before me. And his wife and his friends say to him, "You know what you should do? You should have him crucified." Oh, I love it. It's a great idea. Why do you worry about what the birds do? You with me? It's very important that I left that verse 14 out there like that. Verse 14 really makes sense at the end of this next chapter. Stay with me. That night, the king could not sleep. So one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they read before the king. And it was found that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeeper who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, "What honor or dignity has been bestowed upon Mordecai for this?" If you were here last week, we talked about that. How many times have you often done things for the Lord wondering if he even sees? Does he even care? Let for a second King Ahasuerus take the place, a type of God. Mordecai did this amazing favor. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, we looked at Mordecai, heard about a plot to kill the king. He told them about it. He told his queen. He told his cousin, who he raised as a daughter, who is the king's wife, the queen, Esther, "You better tell your husband. These two guys are looking to off him." And it was right, and they took them and crucified them. You guys remember? Nothing ever happened to that, right? Now, all of a sudden, one night, out of nowhere, the Lord knocks on this guy's heart and says, "Wake up. Why? I want to talk to you. I have something for you to do." Now, for some of us here, for me, when it's "wake up, I have something for us to do," I know exactly what it is. The Lord wants me to pray for somebody. So I begin at my family, my kids, my grandchildren, and I start to go around Since most of you sit in the same place, I visualize Sunday. And I remember who was sitting here. Mike and his family sit back there. My brother David always sits there. Cole and Jonah always sit over there. Maria sits over there. Usually Matt's daughters, wife and daughter sit here and he stands back there. Marty's always standing back there. I go through and one by one by one by one by one, I go through all until I'm prayed out. And then I said, God, is there something else? If you have been, I'll use the word haunted by a spirit waking you up in the middle of the night, don't shortchange it. It might be the Lord wanting you to pray for somebody. He might very well want to use you to do something. And if you won't pray, he'll find somebody else to use. Don't worry. Well, that's kind of weird. So is God going to use my prayer or not? He might use your prayer, but he might not. He might use somebody else's prayer. So what are you saying? God's going to do this thing anyway? Probably. So then why should I waste my time praying if he's going to do it anyway? Because he wants to give you the credit for it. You might receive an extra reward when you get to heaven for it. Wait a second. This is weird. So you're saying to me, God's going to do something anyway. Ask me to pray. If I don't pray, he's going to use somebody else. But if I do pray, he's going to do what he already was going to do. But yet when I get to heaven, he's going to give me a reward for doing what I didn't have to do anyway? Exactly. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would he give me a reward for what he's going to do? Guys, you're starting to wrap your head around what grace is all about. Why it is written that when we get to heaven, we will take the crown that he gives us and throw it at his feet. I did nothing. You did all this. You gave me the strength to do it. You gave me the unction to do it. You gave me the will to do it. You put me in the position to do it. How could you give me a reward for what you've done? Guys, what is grace and mercy? Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, and grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Again, mercy, that's when you don't get what you deserve. Grace, that's when you get what you don't deserve. And our walk with Christ is all about grace, getting what we don't deserve. That night, the king couldn't sleep. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And like the rivers of water, he turns it anywhere he wishes. Like the day me and my family went to court, fully expecting that the government was going to tell us, return the child. Kiki, whose name was Kenny at the time, is no longer yours. Give her back to her mother, who, by the way, parenthetically, is a drug addict, junkie, prostitute, illegal alien who's going to destroy the child as she has already tried to do. And that day, with tears and fears and consternation and trembling and trust in God, this judge who, Judge Cohen, who was convicted of judicial misconduct, awaiting sentencing, still on the bench, did something nobody expected. He said, nah, I want to leave the kid with them. What? You said, nah, I don't think this is right. Case closed. Dismiss this case. You keep the kid. You're doing a good job. And we sat on our knees. We got on our knees weeping and hallelujah. Couldn't believe to get on the phone. See, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And I pity and I fear and I hurt for those who haven't seen God do that in the heart of some king sometimes. And I'm sorry. It doesn't always work out that way. But when it does, we rejoice and brag that our God is an awesome God. And he still visits the sons of men. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana. I read that. Verse 4, so the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to suggest that the king hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. Uh-oh. The king's servants said to him, Haman is there standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. Bring him in. So Haman came in, and the king asked him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor more than me? Wow. I have a few questions. One of the questions I have here is really interesting. How did this guy get so close to the king, being such a stunads? You're that full of yourself? I mean, do you remember watching Happy Days in the old days? Remember Happy Days? There's an episode of Happy Days where Fonzie goes blind. He gets hit in the head and goes blind. Anybody remember that episode? And I remember in that episode, he starts screaming out, to calling out to God. And he looks at God and he goes, yo, he said I was your favorite. And I remember being a little kid watching that going, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. You're like beating people up. You're a pervert. You know what I mean? Why would God think you're his favorite? Everybody knows he's my favorite. I'm his favorite. Nobody remember that episode? I don't know why I just remembered that. I have no idea. It's 40 years ago since I've seen it, maybe more. It just, this is guy's mindset. He's that full of himself. The king wants to honor somebody. Well, it must be me. I mean, I'm so awesome. Dude, are you serious? You'd expect that somebody that close to the king, second in command in all the kingdom, he'd at least be a little shrewd. At very least, be a little humble. This dude is... this dude is us. Boy, we get full of ourselves quick, don't we? Little success here and there. You know, when I opened up my store, I got this store across the street. I opened up in 1994. By the year 2000, 5 or 6 years into this thing, it was rocking, man. I was like, I'm a genius. I got an idea. I'm going to open up another one, and then another one. I opened up one in Coral Springs, got an investor, opened up another one in Miami Beach. 3 years later, closing both down. I thought I was so smart. Why don't you stick with what you got? Because you were doing really good until you started thinking you were somebody you weren't. I thought I was like not just a reptile expert, I thought I was a business expert. Oh yeah, let me tell you about business. Let me tell you how you do this. How do you do this? I'll tell you exactly how. You ready how to run? I'll tell you how to run a business. You pray a lot and you tithe often. That'll really help you. What do you do after that? Just keep learning. Just keep learning. Because let me tell you how smart I was. In the year 2004, some dude comes into my store and he goes, hey, Ryan, there's this new thing. It's called the World Wide Web. You want to get on the ground floor of it? I was like, oh, another idea. He said, Ryan, this will make what's called a global economy. You will open up your customer base in ways you never imagined. It's going to be huge. And I said, guys, look, dude, I have a business here. I know how to sell. All my customers are local people. That's all I need. And I took myself for more than almost 10 years out of the information age. And about until Drew came along, I'll tell you something. My business was about done. We were sinking and sinking fast. People coming to my store said, how come you're selling that so expensive? So expensive? What are you talking about? Same price it's always been. Oh, I found it on Amazon for. I found it here for. It's like, I was wrong. I remember realizing I was wrong. Don't be so smart, man. Don't let this Mordecai thing fool you. You need an Andrew in your life, big time. Everybody needs an Andrew in their life. Right, Andrew? Who else would the king delight to bless instead of me? Now Haman thought in his heart that, Verse 7. And Haman answered the king, "Well, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought which the king has worn." Now, I'm sure the king was a wonderful person, but between me and you, there weren't no air conditioning back then. You want to wear a robe that the king has worn? Maybe there's a little something else going on there. Maybe his wife, Zeresh, was, I don't know, "I want to wear your robe." Ew. Ew. "And a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on his head, let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of the one whom the king, one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.'" Yes. Here, I want you to picture Haman. "I want to wear his robe. I want to ride his horse. I want one of his sons to walk me around the city, and I want him to proclaim. I want everybody to, I want them to, what's that called when they got the guy that yells? Herald. I want it to be heralded that, 'Look at the man whom the king delights. Here I am. It's me.'" Could you see this? This is insanity. This is arrogance, conceit to a level seldom seen. "Then the king said to Haman," I love verse 10, "Hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all you have spoken." Darn it, this is another one of those times. I gotta see the Blu-ray of this. I wanna focus on his face. This is the man. Great idea. Take the robe. Take the horse, take the crest, take one of my princes, and bring it to Mordecai the Jew. Can you see this? You only get stories like this in the Bible. I'm sorry. This is too good to be true, and too true to be good. This is the Bible, where it's like, you can't make this stuff up. You can't write this stuff. "So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, 'Thus it shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor.' Afterward, Mordecai went back to the king's gate, but Haman hurried to his house, mourning and with his head covered. When Haman told," ready? This is why I belabored verse 14 so much. Watch this. "When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that happened to him, his wise men and his wife said to him," stop right there. I love this verse. And this, if you want to talk about an application, this should be a proverb. Like, let's write a proverb. Don't ask idiots for advice because they don't really mean it, or something like that. You ever try to write a proverb? It's like the hardest thing to do in the world. He asked them, "I have the king's honor, I am rich, I'm powerful, and this Mordecai the Jew, you should hang him. That's what you should do. You should hang him and tell the king, and then go merrily afterward right to that banquet." Yeah, yeah, that's what I should do. Here, he goes back to tell them. You'd think they'd rally up behind him and go, "Listen, here's what we got to do here. We got to make some damage control. I got your back. I'm with you. Let's figure this out together," right? Nope. "When Haman told his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wife Zeresh said to him, 'If Mordecai, before you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him.'" Squeeze me? This was your idea. This whole gallows thing, you put this in my head. Sucks for you. Did you get that in writing? Listen. I don't want anybody to think here that I share personal information, because I don't. However, I do want you to understand this. If you get advice from somebody in the world, or even somebody in the church, and it's not biblical or not spirit-led advice, if it's not James 3:17, peaceable, full of mercy and good fruit, willing to yield, if it's not that advice, it's bad advice, and you're the one that's gonna have to pay for it. I met with a dude the other day who's going through a horrible divorce, and the things that he's doing on the advice of well-intended people, his wife has the house for 3 days a week, he has the house for 4 days a week. He has the kids for 2 days a week, she has the kids for 5 days a week. He's giving her, like, where did you get that from? Dude, you don't leave your house. Oh, it was an idea, and it's the only thing that's brought us peace. You don't need peace right now. It's time for war. Fight for your family, dude. Because when the whole crap house goes down, where's all those people with those ideas? Tell me. What did the Lord say? He said to them that thought they were shrewd, make for yourselves friends with unrighteous mammon. That way, when you have nothing, you can go stay with them. You guys remember that? If this wasn't so funny, if this wasn't so sad, it'd be hilarious. I bet somewhere down in the midst of this guy, he's probably a decent fella who just so full of himself. I mean, he's obviously shrewd. He got to that close to the king, probably made the king, probably got a good brain for money and business. And I mean, something got him before the king in the presence of the king. Now, all of a sudden, he wants to hang this poor guy because his religion forbids him to bow down before him. Beware of the spirit of Haman. It lies to you. It tells you to do things that will destroy your life. I've often been confronted with that spirit. Here's how you got to handle that situation. Here's what you should do in that situation. Dude, are you out of your mind? My friends, I got a lot of worldly friends, and the stuff they tell me to do is like, dude, are you serious? Did you really think that's good advice? Well, it sounds good. Hello? Guys, please receive this. You who are looking for advice on out of a situation, into a situation, business, school, please consider the advice that you are listening to. And if it is advice of fools, then you're a fool. What did we look last night? If you were at men's study last night, now I know you ladies weren't here, it was a men's study, but it was a verse we read. It said, when a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there's no peace. You contend with a fool, there's no peace. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs came and hastened to bring Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. While he was talking to them, here come the eunuchs. It's time to go to the feast. How am I going to figure this one out? Could things get worse for this dude? What time is it? We got 10 verses. You guys want to roll through that?
Yeah.
Remember I told you that was just a trick that pastors, nobody ever says no to that. Listen, we'll read through it. We won't do a study on it. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther. And on the second day, they're really good and drunk, at the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Up to half my kingdom, it shall be done." You know, it's funny that drunk kings say that a lot. It's the same thing that King Herod said when he was drunk. He was drunk too. He was all drunk with his buddies. "Yeah, you could have half my kingdom." And then later on, he's like, "Holy crap, I got to give her half the kingdom." "No, I don't want half your kingdom. You know, I want the head of John the Baptist." Did I promise that? Queen Esther answered and said, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition." And what she's saying is basically, guys, in case you don't understand the language there, spare my life. Spare my life, please. Now the king's got to be like, "Spare your life? What are you talking about?" And my people at my request, for we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss. She says to him, remember what I said to you at the beginning of this? This queen, she's got a plan. She set this thing up. This is a woman who got wise counsel. I don't know if it was her cousin that gave her this. She set this whole thing up with patience. 3 days. "Will you come to a banquet tomorrow?" She goes to the banquet. Next day, "Come to a banquet." That banquet lasts a day and a half. That was 2 days later. "What do you want already, queen? Give it to me. Tell me what you want." "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, if you love me, spare my life and the life of my people. For we have been sold to be killed, annihilated, wiped out. If they would have sold us in slavery, I would have said nothing. Although I don't think you could be compensated for the loss that you would take if all my people died. However, I wouldn't complain, but we're supposed to be killed, all annihilated." What's this drunk king going to say now? So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." I want to watch that on DVD, Ray, Blu-ray, whatever, HD, HTML. So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. He was so PO'd that he got up and ran. "What? Haman, my..." He gets up and he bolts into the garden. "We're going to look at some flowers for a minute." But Haman stood before Queen Esther, pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden to the place of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was. Then the king said, "Will he also assault the queen while I'm in the house?" He was begging for his life. And I guess he crawled over the, and he's like on the, there's like a couch there. I guess the king said, "Please, no, please." And the king walks in while he's on there. You're going to attack my queen in front of me?" It's a bad day for this dude. I'm sorry. I mean, he's a bad guy, but it's got to be a touch of your heart that goes, "Man, I hate those days." I know how that dude feels. You know what? He had it coming. You want to wipe out a whole race of people just for your own arrogance. But that's a bad day. This is a bad day. Wife, bad advice. Wife turns his back on him. Friends, wise men, everybody, just all at the same time. It almost reminds me of the whole Job thing. While he was still talking, this happened. While he was still talking, this happened. While he was, read chapter 1 of Job, you know what I'm saying. While he was, all this stuff's going down. As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. They took a bag, put it over his head. Now Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, "Look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good things on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman." Worse the view of the gallows right from the room they were in. And the eunuch says, look, you see those gallows? This guy made them for the guy that you just honored. Oh, he did he? Bad day. So the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Whew. Cool three chapters, right? However, there's still a problem that remains, guys, and it remains for another two chapters. And you know what that is? The law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. And it's already gone out, the decree, that all the Jews in 10 months got to be murdered, killed, and all of their stuff taken away. What to do? What to do? What to do? Read ahead, figure it out, or wait till next week. Well, next week's the prayer meeting, so you're out of luck there. Wait 2 weeks, read ahead, or wait 2 weeks to find out how God does the miraculous again. Because our God is an awesome God, and he reigns on heaven above with kingdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Amen? Father God, we humble ourselves in the presence of the Almighty, asking you to do to us only what you did to Moses by putting him in the cleft of the rock, putting your hand upon his back, and letting your glory pass by. And even though he saw your glory, he still lived. God, we too want to see your glory and live. We want to live for you. God, I do pray that tonight's Bible verses penetrated the hearts of those who are, maybe they've already twisted their mind up with foolish advice. Maybe their hearts already lifted up to the sky because of some affluence or some successes. God, please, may we be found humble before you, ready to receive, ready to change. That the destruction of this world doesn't befall us. Thank you so much, dear Lord Jesus, for the blessing of your word. May we hear and obey. In Christ's name, amen.